How's it going, everybody? This is me again, your host, Chewy, welcoming you back to the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again happy to inform you guys that I am joined by my good friend Monica.
Hi, guys.
So we are recording this on the eve of Valentine's Day. It's the 13th of February, 2021. And I feel
Mine is pretty uneventful, so I will be playing Stardew Valley in the eve of Valentine's Day, and then tomorrow I'm going to sleep in because I'm off, and it's a Sunday, so whatever.
Dude, tell me about it, especially for us down here in South Texas. We're seeing temperatures that we normally don't ever see ever.
Uh-huh, lucky.
We are currently, I believe, about 34 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. I love this temperature. I love cold weather. To me, it's like my jam.
Yeah,
because 99% of the year over here, we're like freaking 110, 120 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Texas heat.
Yeah, dude, this is definitely a welcome change for me. So I'm happy with that. I mean, I'm in love with nature right now, I guess.
Yeah, I like it too. Like I always love the fall. Well, I guess a week of the fall in the valley because... Yeah. Cold like 1 week out of like the winter time, and then you know it decides to show up in the middle of April, you know, when it's my birthday and it's raining always on that week. But it's nice because like you get to wear all the coats and stuff that you've stored in your closet for months, for you know the three couple weeks that it does actually get cold enough for you to wear them, and it's nice, you know.
Dude, I have this weird habit of collecting jackets. I don't know why I do that because I never wear them.
So do I.
I mean, I started wearing them when it's like 70 degrees just because like, hey, like it's a chance for me to wear my jacket now.
Set on these toes, yeah.
Yeah, most of them are pretty light jackets. I mean, they're not super thick furry jackets or anything like that, so I'm not, you know, sweating or anything. So they're you know, they look nice. I do have a few that are like coats, like wool coats.
Oh, wow.
Those look really nice. I like wearing those, but I mean, I never get to wear them. Yeah. And I have some jackets, and I even have a trench coat that I bought a while back that it looks all fancy and stuff like that. And I've never worn it because it's never cold or rainy down here. It is now.
Yeah.
But I'm not going anywhere because it's freaking COVID and I can't wear my trench coat, you know, so.
I have this, like, parka, basically, that I got because I was going to go to Lubbock last year, the year before that. And over there, it does get, like, super cold. Well, like, it gets cold, but because it's still Texas. But, like, it's not, like, sometimes it snows, sometimes it doesn't. The time went, it didn't snow. But it did snow on the way back. Mm-hmm. So, in between, like, New Mexico and Arizona, there was snow everywhere. And, oh, that's nice. Like, I got to use my little, you know, parka, you know. It was nice. It looked like a freaking marshmallow because the thing was, like, it was really cozy, but, like, very excessive. I never wore it again. It's still in my closet, so I haven't had a chance to use it. And this whole time that it's been, like, air quotes, winter time, a.k.a. springtime, over here it's been crazy. So it was cold for, like, maybe 2 weeks, and then it started getting, like, in, like, the high 60s, low 70s, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And now you guys are probably going to get snow. I know it snowed in Austin and in San Antonio. And Houston was, like, covered in ice. There was, like, a freaking accident in Fort Worth, too, like, where the road got all icy and everybody crashed into each other.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, but, like, here, it rains. And there's, like, puddles and stuff on the highway, but there's no ice. But it snows, like, you know, I could see snow in the mountains because I live by the mountains. Uh-huh. I could see it in the... you know, very, very far distance. It looks nice, but I don't get to experience it because we're, like, on flat land. This is literally, like, almost like the valley, but without the humidity.
Okay.
It's just flat.
Okay.
You know, with the view, because there's mountains, but, you know, they're far away. It's not like I can climb them and go to the snow, so.
Well, yeah, actually, yeah, I do believe we might be getting snow. I saw a report earlier on Facebook that it's going to go to, I think, the high 20s for us, maybe, like, 28.
Nice.
In the next couple of days, so maybe.
Yeah.
It's funny, but we're talking about all this because I wish I could live in a place that was cold most of the year, you know, like, maybe not. I mean, maybe not necessarily with snow and ice all the time, but somewhere where it's like, hey, it's bearable for humans to live without having to, like, put up with triple-digit weather.
only have summer like for the 2 months that you're supposed to have summer, so like June and July, maybe May, for it to be hot so you can go to like the river or like a lake or the beach or whatever. The rest of it, I would like it to be like in like the 60s or 70s. You know, that'd be like the perfect weather. It doesn't have to snow, but I want it to be cold enough to where I don't sweat when I'm outside. Because I hate sweating. I hate it.
Dude, I literally just stand outside for 5 minutes and I'm drenched like I was running a marathon. Like, it's ridiculous. My body, it just doesn't like heat. And I don't like heat. I get frustrated. I get frustrated when it's hot. When I'm sweating, I get really, like, angry with myself and life and everything, so.
The last time that I went to McAllen, like, well, to the valley, I hadn't been there for, like, almost a year. And I think I went, like, in June. So it was, like, swampy. Like, humidity. It was raining every other day. Dude, the last day before I came back, I was loading my stuff in the car. And literally just on my way to put my suitcase in my car, I was drenched in f***ing, like, sweat and the humidity from outside. I was like, oh, hell no. I'm so glad I'm f***ing leaving because, like, I got spoiled over here because it gets hot, but it's dry heat.
Uh-huh.
It's like you're literally stepping in an oven when you go outside. But, like, it's at least it's not wet. I haven't gotten bit by a mosquito in, like, 2 years.
That's awesome, dude. No, back here, you know how they are. They look like bats.
Yeah.
They look like freaking bats. And the audience might be wondering, what the hell is this guy talking about weather and cold? Well, it's because it's like an event for us to get cold down here. But also because, like I was saying, I wish I lived in a place like that. And incidentally, the movie that we're talking about today has to do with wishes, right?
Yes, it does.
You want to inform our audience, Monica, for the people out there that are...
wondering
about.
So this week we watched Wishmaster, and it's about an evil genie, basically.
Yeah, definitely an interesting movie for us to talk about. But before we do that, let's go ahead and remind our audience, Monica, that we do have our social media accounts where they can reach out to us and talk to us about the things they like, the things they don't like, whether they want to be a part of this as far as contributing a story, maybe being featured in a segment of their own, maybe recounting their story. We can do that for you guys. We can let you describe or talk about any experiences you might have had, whether they're natural or supernatural, that are creepy. Maybe you had a run-in with a creepy person that was stalking you or something like that. I mean, you can share that with us. I mean, that's horror-related.
Yes.
That's horror-related if you want to relive those tragic moments in your life. But yes, our our Facebook is under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. Our Instagram is under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is also under Myths Behind LGDS, and you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com. I almost forgot it for a second.
I saw you struggling for like a minute in the screen. Our link tree is also under Myths Behind LGDS, and our website that's official unofficial, it's myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com. You can find the Anchor profile where you can stream our episodes, but you can also find links to sources that are related to the topics that we talked about. So we also have a photo gallery in there. I just kind of take pictures from the internet and make them creepier by adding effects or changing the colors, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, that's another thing. If you guys want to contribute some weird pictures of your own, by that, I don't mean like your dirty pictures.
Please keep them
to
yourself.
Yeah, I mean, again, unless your name happens to be Scarlett Johansson, then by all means, my email is at... No, but yeah, I mean, if you guys have any kind of pictures or video that you think may have something weird in it that is unexplainable, by all means, you can share that with us and we'll talk about it here or feature it on our YouTube page or something like that. So yeah, by all means, reach out to us if you have something to talk about.
Yeah, and if you just want to become my pen pal, I just got this little wax kit, you know, to mail out handwritten letters. So send an email and I'll send you a letter.
That's awesome. That's cool, my friend. So without having much further ado, let's go ahead and take a little break for now and come right back and talk about the Wishmaster.
Thank you.
Okay, Monica, so we are at the movie critique segment of our podcast episode, in which, if you're a first-time listener, we talk about the movie in the sense, like, we're Siskel and Ebert. We describe or talk about the scenery, the music, the acting, etc., 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 right? So you mentioned something to me about this movie that I want to ask you about. You mentioned something about the high-quality Shakespearean acting, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. that Alexandra character really sold it on me how, you know, afraid she was of the genie. It was kind of hard to watch because it felt like the whole time she just wanted to laugh. The genie didn't help, you know? His act was pretty bad, too. Like, a little overdramatic. The voice was a little weird. It just seemed so awkward, dude. Like, and I remember watching this movie when I was a kid and thinking, oh, this is so scary. And then watching it now, there was a scene, I don't remember what it was. If you guys have seen this, and if you haven't, you have to, because it's just pretty funny to watch. It gets to the point where I think he's trying to get into a building, you know, and this is like the genie, and I can't remember what his name is. He goes up to the security guard.
Oh, yeah.
And goes like, oh, like, I need to go through. And he's like, well, you're gonna have to, like, walk past me or walk through me to get, you know, to get here. And, like, this guy has a way of, like, obviously twisting people's words so that whatever they wish kind of, like, it gets granted, but then it has a twist, you know, and the person ends up, you know, dying in some crazy way and he gets their soul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or he cashes it in whenever he wants to, right? He lets these people live as long as he wants until he needs their soul. But for this guy, he tells him, oh, you're gonna have to walk past me, walk through me. He turns into, like, glass or, like, gel or something, and then he literally walks through this man's body, because also, like, his body just gets, like, completely flattened, you know, in thin air. He walks through him, and then he just, like shatters and explodes, and it's gone. You know, it's like, what? And there was no residue, no nothing, just, like, a clean crime scene. I'm like, what? Like, seriously? And then he traps the Alexandra's sister in a painting.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so bad. Like, it's such a bad painting. But he's like, oh, is it the, what does he say? The resemblance is uncanny. Or it's like, it's really like, oh, so realistic. I'm like, oh, what? No, it's not.
Yeah, she looks like a cartoon character, dude. Like,
yeah. And then the flames, like, in the background, like, oh, they're actually moving. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is like the cheesiest movie we've seen so far. Like, it's... It was interesting and really made me value, I guess, like, the special effects that we have now. Cause, man, like, I got fooled back in the day. That was like next level shit in that movie at that time. You know, like,
yeah.
How far we've come.
Well, you did say be careful what you wish for last time, right?
Right, I did
so,
see that.
In a way, you kind of got your wish in a twisted way. Ah.
It was interesting to watch, though. It was fun. I wish I would have been drinking. That would have been even better, but yeah.
Because I remember watching this movie when it came out, or around the time that it came out, I was maybe like about 13 years old, 14 maybe, when it came out. I remember, and even back then, I was already old enough to, okay, I was like, okay, it looks fake as crap, you know, this looks... So I didn't like the movie too much. I thought it was okay at best, and, like, average, I guess, you know. And even back then, like I said, I didn't enjoy or think the special effects were that great.
Yeah.
But watching it now, I did find some things that I didn't remember from it. The gore, for example, when it's done with real effects, like with practical effects, what they call it, like with actual prosthetics and everything, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like when somebody gets cut in the face, whatever, or their neck or their body gets
cut,
whatever, like, or they're bleeding. I mean, that stuff looks cool. And I'm gonna give props to the special effects team, because one of the special effects guys is none other than Greg Nicotero, who does special effects for a little show you might have heard in your career. It's The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's one of, like, the... Is it him? It's like the King of Gore or something.
I don't know. It's between him and Tom Savini.
Okay.
Tom Savini is another one of the legendary special effects guys of all time. Like, so between both of those guys, I think they're up there as far as the practical effect. When you need something to look really creepy and gory, you gotta call those guys. I mean, I'm assuming. Sorry, they're not at a cheap price tag, you know. But if you're gonna make a movie and you want your effects to look on point, you gotta get a hold of these guys, you know, because they're awesome. So I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, okay, the gore is. It's gory, it's okay, you know, it's really good, it's well done. But yes, when it comes to the computer effects, like the glass sequence you just talked about, that was sad. That was really, really sad. I'm sorry.
Cheesy. I was like, oh my god, why?
That was sad, and also at the end when he gets sucked back into his gem, when the genie gets absorbed by the gem again, it looks just really, really bad. To me, this has the feel of like a high-level college project film or something like that, like somebody like is making a college film, and they got, for some reason, they were lucky and they got some sort of rich person involved, and they got like $100,000. Hey, here you guys, you know, go crazy, make your college film, you know, because that's what it looks like. And the quality of the acting isn't that great. The girl, she was, like you mentioned, kind of in the edge of breaking character all the time, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember what line it was that she said. She's like, "You bastard," and I was like, but the way she said it was like very like she had a pause in it, you know, in that line that she was saying, and it just sounded so fake, like with no, it wasn't convincing at all. Like, it was just, it's like when you're sarcastic and you're saying like, "Ah, you're such a jerk," or "you're such a bastard," or whatever, but like you don't really say like you mean it, you're just saying it to say it. That's kind of how it came off.
Either like a high-level college film, or maybe even like a B movie or something that you would see like on a TV channel, the sci-fi channel or something like that. But yeah, dude. In general, the quality, the acting itself wasn't that great. Behind the scenes, it was Wes Craven, you know, the director of the Freddy Krueger, the original Nightmare on Elm Street. He was a producer, not a director, for this movie. So that basically means he kind of just sprang up some cash for people to work on this. So he paid part of this monstrosity. But I guess because of his renown, his popularity, his clout, I guess, he was able to get several people involved. And so some of these people make cameos, and they're all like in their own icons of horror.
Yeah. I really like Candyman as a kid. Uh-huh. And the guy who plays him was one of the... What was he on there? He was like a
doorman, like a bouncer.
Yeah, So he was, it was him, and then Freddy Krueger made an appearance, but, you know, out of costume, obviously.
Yeah, the actor, Robert Englund,
I can't, what was the other one?
So,
there's more?
So it was, there's actually a couple more that I wanted to talk about. There was them two, obviously, the actor that played Candyman, Tony Todd. There was also, of course, Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger, not as Freddy Krueger, but he plays Freddy Krueger, but as a normal character, like a guy, you know, like a regular guy. Some sort of like museum collector person.
Yeah.
And then also the security guard in that horrible sequence that we talked about. He was Kane Hodder, and he was the actor that played Jason Voorhees in several of those movies.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so he played Jason in like 3 or 4 of the Friday the 13th movies. Nice. And incidentally, he also played Freddy Krueger as a cameo in Part 9 as the hand, because if you've seen Part 9 of that series, that is the one that's called Jason Goes to Hell, whatever, and in the very end, you see the glove of Freddy Krueger's hand reach up to the dirt and drag Jason's mask down, kind of symbolizing him going to hell, and that hand was Kane Hodder's hand.
Oh, wow.
So he played Jason, and his hand played Freddy Krueger, so like, he's played two of the major horror icons of all history,
That's awesome.
And also another one that was worthy of mention was the guy that in the crane, the guy that drops that box, whatever, that you know, that unleashes his whole madness. That guy's name was Joseph Pilato. He played a part or a big role in one of the Romero zombie movies, more specifically Day of the Dead. He was one of the main people in that movie.
Nice.
He played the part of Captain Rhodes, who happened to be like the human villain of that story. So there's a lot of names attached to this that are
Yeah.
like kind of legendary in their own way and different horror franchises. And of course, I guess that had to do with, again, with Wes Craven, his influence, just his presence. Okay, you know, this is something that I want to work for because, hey, Wes Craven's behind this, so it's got to be good. And no, it's not.
I mean, I think so there's like three of these movies or four.
I believe there's four.
Okay, so I know I think that the second one is better than the first one. I think that's the one that I remember the most. Is that the one where they rob like a jewelry place or like a museum or something?
I can't remember because I saw the second one also a long time ago. I've never seen the third or the fourth one, but I remember seeing the second one, and I think in the second one they're like in a casino or in a some sort of like a gambling place. And this guy, you know, he thrives on wishes, so of course everyone wishes to be rich in the casino, so he like has a soul, he has a, like a buffet of souls right there at his
Disposal, yeah. I can't remember. I think I'm gonna watch it because I think they have it on Peacock, and I just got the membership because I wanted to watch Saturday Night Live without commercials. So I'm probably gonna watch that after this, just because like I just want to remember. There's one in specifics that I remember, and I think it's because I had a crush on like one of the actors. I think the one that dies, the first person that dies. I think that's the one that I remember because I thought that was the one that we were watching. I thought that was the first one, but it's not. I feel like that one's better than this one. I hope,
I
it's
can't
been
remember,
this.
dude. Like, I vaguely remember this one, watching it, and I thought this was the one where the casino scene was featured in. And when I didn't see it, I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's in part two. I was expecting that scene to pop up at some point, and it didn't. As far as the way the movie was filmed, some of it looked grainy and cloudy to my eyes. I don't know if it was me, like, or whatever, but I felt like sometimes like the camera was a little blurry. I don't know if it's because it's an old movie and it looks old, and I'm like spoiled by HD, like, you know, 4K HD, whatever. But I felt like a lot of the action was a little blurry. Like, I don't know, and sometimes it was kind of dark to see because the scenes were like dark, and I couldn't see some of the details, you know, in some of those scenes. But I'm not saying the movie was shot like poorly or whatever, but it looked.
Yeah, but they also like, because I don't think that movie was made digital, it was film, right? So like they have to adapt that to digital, and it takes away a lot of the, I guess, quality of it in a sense.
Yeah, more than likely, dude. I mean, but I've seen movies from like the 80s that look better than this one, dude. I mean, like, I don't know. I thought it was just my version because I found a version of it online.
Maybe, yeah, because mine didn't look too bad, but and I saw it on like actual subscription place, so
I didn't. Let's
yeah,
just put it that way. One thing that I want to mention also is that the actor that played the human version of the Wishmaster, his name is Andrew Dibboff. He has like a weird face, dude. So he was kind of creepy, I guess, in the role of the genie. I think he could have played like a different like serial killer in a different movie, and he would have been creepy as that, you know?
like the one in the meat suit, like, I mean, like the regular,
Yeah, like the regular human guy when he's
you know
like.
what, and I wrote a note because I was like, he kind of reminded me a lot of Dane Cook. He even kind of talked like him a little bit every now and then, and I was like, I feel like if they remade it, like he would be perfect for that role. Like, well, I mean, maybe not, because have you seen Dane Cook now? Like, he looks a lot different than before.
I haven't. I'm not a big fan of stand-up, so I never was into that stuff. But
Looks a lot different, but like young Dane Cook reminded me of that guy.
yeah, I think he did okay as far as acting as the human genie, whatever. I don't get the point or the part where of all the women falling for him. I mean, whatever. Like, I mean, there's a scene where he's buying a suit and like the sales girl is like all like falling in love with him, like
Oh yeah.
flirting with him, and then the girl's sister who is also like in the basketball game scenes. He's like,
Yeah.
oh yeah, have my phone, eh.
She's like, oh my
Like,
God, he looks fresh.
yeah. So I don't know. Like, I just didn't.
He was okay, but he wasn't like, oh my God, like slobber. Like, no, he wasn't that. Maybe it's because like it's like the appeal that he has, he just naturally draws people in because he's like a f-ing genie, like.
Yeah, I guess that's part of it. And he looks like a bad guy, like, you know, like kind of like a bad boy, I guess, you know. So in general, the movie as a whole, I don't really think it's that great.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, yeah, like the, I mean, we talked about the acting, we talked about the quality of the movie. I don't know, dude, I really have a hard time finding positive things to say about this. I mean, other than the gore, like I mentioned.
Yeah, I mean it's fun to watch now, like if you're poking fun at it, like 'cause like I was under the influence. I'm not, if you've been listening, you know what influence I'm talking about.
It's in California, guys. It's okay.
Yeah, this is in California, so think about what's, available to me here. So I didn't plan on watching it like that, but it happened, and I kind of had to pause it for a moment because I started to trip out. Like I was like, what the hell's going on here? Like, and I wasn't like, but after, I kind of calmed down a little bit because I watched it in parts because I was doing stuff. And then like I had to do like some stuff for work, and then when I finally went back to it, I was like not paranoid anymore. I was just kind of like chill. And I was laughing the whole way until the movie ended, and I kept going like, oh my God, like, oh my God, like, wow, this is the worst. I caught on to the acting, like to the acting. I was just like, and that kind of distracted me from like what was going on in the movie. Or the girl, she was just so like, she didn't sell it to me. I just kept laughing and like rolling my eyes every time she had a line. Like, and then the guy, he was actually like the genie, like the monster. He was overly dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
I just was just kind of like, oh my God, he's like so extra. Like this is, it was too funny. Like I couldn't see it as like a horror movie. I saw it as like a comedy movie. And of course the freaking effects didn't help. So yeah, but it was fun to watch. I was like, this is gonna be fun to talk about for sure. But yeah.
I mean, just real quick, I want to go over here the way he looked. I mean, what do you think about that? I thought he looked. I mean, if I see something like that walking in the street, I'd be okay. Like, what the hell is that? Like, I'd be freaked out. But
Yeah.
then, like you say, when he starts talking, it's like, hey, how is it going? Like, he has like a really weird voice.
Yes.
Like he drags his speech like that.
Yeah.
So
I
he's
think that
like.
used to be, it's because that was a thing though back then. Like every villain in every freaking movie that had monsters in it talked like that. I don't know who decided that that was the accent and like the speech pattern that was like triggering for people, but like it made it even more comical because he was, I couldn't take him seriously as a freaking villain. If like you said, if I saw him in the middle of the street, came up to me and like kept, it was funny, like there's a scene where like I guess he's like the old lady, right? And they're sitting on the
Oh,
couch,
yeah.
and it's like this lady who has all this extensive, knowledge in history, and I don't know what, right? So she keeps asking her, like the main character, like questions and like trying to get her to like bait her so she can make a wish.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, "Why are you asking me all these questions?" And I was just like, "Oh my God, have you not caught on yet? Like this is obviously the genie in disguise. Like come on, dude." I don't know what he. What he what she says that then after a while like she's starting to walk away and it turns into the guy, and then later she sees, oh, because he goes, oh, people who've seen my true form immediately want to die or something. And
Oh,
I'm just
yeah.
like, I mean obviously like once he starts speaking it's like the
Nah.
fear goes away because it's like you're not that scary, dude, like you're kind of a dick actually, like just go.
His speech pattern to me, like, it just, it's not annoying. It's just that it's not scary. It's,
It's not scary at all.
yeah, it's just no.
I would be more scared if the genie was a kid, like a creepy little kid with dead eyes. That would freak me out more than that thing, whatever he was, like a lizard person or whatever. But yeah, I was really confused in the beginning too. Like in the beginning, like the first scene, where like everybody's fucking fighting and like. It's like this magician guy or whatever, the one
Oh,
who
yeah.
puts him in the throne. I was like, what is he even whispering to the king or whatever he was? Like, what is he doing? Like, he's just there, like I was like, and then there was a scene that basically the same scene, but in present time with that guy, with the collector guy, Freddy Krueger. And I don't, I missed the part of what he said that he would like for something to be like something to happen,
Oh,
and then
yeah.
that's when dust erupted. I don't know what he told him. I didn't really catch.
Something along the lines of, I want my party to be unforgettable for all time, whatever.
And of course, it has to be gory, and people have to die and kill themselves, and weird fucking monsters are coming out of their stomachs. Like, this is an alien, okay? Like, calm down. That's all I can think of. Like, when the little claws came out and started
Yeah, dude.
fucking.
I mean, I feel like we could literally spend the entire episode talking about the cheesiness of the movie.
Yeah,
But I
no.
mean, again, I find it really difficult to speak of this movie in a positive way. And I'm not saying it's a I hate the movie,
Yeah.
because if you got nothing to do, any rainy afternoon, whatever, you can watch this and maybe have a laugh or two along the way. I don't think it's good as a horror movie, unfortunately. Because I mean, yeah, we talked about everything. You know, the CGI is pretty subpar. The acting is college level worthy, maybe, if anything. I've seen plays that are like in community theater that are better. You know, and you know, it's making me sound like a complete like snob.
No.
But it's, I mean, it's true. And this movie has a low rating in a lot of critic sites, whatever, for a reason. I mean, I think it's justified in this case. And I'm ready to give it my rating. I was gonna give it a certain point score, but see, like, I couldn't even think of like cool funny units for this because I was so like
Well, those glass men or whatever the hell that was.
You wanna go with that?
The obvious choice would be the little emerald or the f gemstones.
I was gonna give it a 6.5, but now after talking about it with you, I'm like, no, I'm gonna go lower. I need to go lower for this, 'cause like, no, it's just.
I'm doing a 3, and that's being generous.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go a little higher than you and go with a 4.
Okay.
I don't know why I gave it a 6.5. Maybe I meant to type 5, and that was, you know,
Lizard
like a
genies. That's what we
typo.
should be using. Lizard.
I had said evil djinn.
Okay.
So you give 3 evil djinns to this. I give it 4 evil djinns. That's a 3.5 on
Sounds
the.
good.
On the units for tonight. And I guess that's it for me on my end. Do you have any final thoughts
No, I just can't get over that glass man. It was so corny.
Oh yeah, like the yeah, dude, it's just ridiculous. I think we were a little bit hard on this, but I think it's justified, dude. I think honestly this movie is again, it's not a terrible movie, but it's not anything that I would recommend to anybody really to watch.
Not to watch seriously. If you're
Yeah.
watching with a, intent to laugh, yes, put it on. It will definitely make you laugh. But not, it won't scare you for sure. And if it does, I mean, you got problems.
Okay, so that was our movie critique segment for the episode, and we'll take a break and come right back with the academic segment. Okay, Monica, we have reached the academic segment, and tonight we have something a little bit special because they do mention this a little bit in passing, I think, in the movie that genies were, or at least in that first scene, you know, it happened in I think somewhere in the Middle East, maybe. Right? So when I was doing research for this as to the origins of the legends of the djinn, of course, the first thing that I found is that they're derived from Muslim culture. Right? So I found this website. The website is called InsideArabia.com. I thought it looks like a reliable source on this, and I hope I'm not. I mean, I'm more than likely gonna mispronounce some of these things because, you know, I don't speak that language. But hopefully, it's not too terrible that I don't make anybody feel bad or offend anybody. The first thing that I found is that in the Muslim world, for example, people believe in supernatural beings and they call them jinn. Because it's actually, according to this website, written in the Quran, like in their holy book, that they are real, they exist, right? It also says here that there's a whole chapter in the Quran that's actually called the chapter of the jinn. And it says that, you know, one of the passages in that chapter is that God himself states, "It has been revealed to me that a group of the jinn listened and said, 'Indeed, we have heard of an amazing Quran, and among us are the righteous, and among us are others not so. We were of divided ways.'" So in essence, this means that jinn, like human beings, can be good or evil. If you read the Quran, for example, it also says here that the jinn can also get married, they can have offspring, they can live and die. So Muslims all over the world believe that God created the jinn and the humans for the purpose of inhabiting the earth and worshiping God, you know?
Uh-huh.
So and another little passage that I found on that website, it says that God stated, "I created the jinn and humankind only that they might worship me." Because the way they describe him in the Quran, according to this, is that they have powers that are not determined by the laws of physics as we know them. They uh-huh. can transcend matter, weight, time, and place, space. Their appearance is transparent or even invisible sometimes. So they're kind of like, I guess, ghost looking maybe. In their belief.
Kind of like the genie in like Aladdin or what?
I guess, kind of, but also, like, another one of their abilities is that they do have the ability, apparently, to cross dimensional boundaries, so they can travel between dimensions.
Ooh.
And they also have the abilities to morph into other beings, like cats, dogs, birds, serpents, or even humans. So they're shapeshifters, also.
Uh-huh,
But then, this is where it got a little weird for me. Because it says that despite their powers, the jinn can be called to serve humans. Because according to their belief, humans are superior to the jinn.
What? They're kind of like servants, like a jinn.
I mean, yeah, and the traditional stories, like for example, Aladdin. Yeah, I mean, if you free a genie from the lamp or whatever is holding him, he becomes bound to you and to grant you the wishes that you want. But I still don't understand how that works because, I mean, these beings have superpowers, basically.
Uh-huh.
And somehow we are still superior to them. Unless it was specifically stated somewhere in this book that is what God intended or something. And like I didn't see that here. I'm just kind of shooting in the dark, and maybe that's my guess as to what would provide an explanation for that.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, would you consider yourself superior to somebody that can turn into a cat or a dog or that can grant wishes or something like that, or that can cross dimensional boundaries? Like,
I would consider that to be superior. I can't f***ing do that.
So, yeah, I mean, that would be my question when it came to that point. Because, I mean, why would humans be considered superior to something that can do stuff like that? I mean, I don't understand. And like I said, maybe there's another passage that they didn't bring up in this. And I'll need to look up into that a little more. But, yeah, that would be my question to you. Like, why would we be considered better than them or superior to them?
Mm-hmm.
There's stories of human enslavement in other religions also, like in according to this, the Judaic Christians and Islamic cultures. One of them is the story of King Solomon, that God granted Solomon the might and the wisdom to command and employ jinn and demons also. Right, so I can't remember reading that in the Bible. I mean, I think it's in there. I vaguely remember somebody talking to me about it when I was in Sunday school or whatever, but I can't remember the exact story as to how that worked. And I thought it was interesting that a lot of these religions, or these three specifically, share like some of the same stories, just with different variations in character names or the way they tell the. I mean, it's weird to me that not really weird, but it's interesting that the way that they kind of have the same stuff, like, or similar stories, you know?
Mm-hmm. Which means that maybe they are true, because like if multiple people have it, you know, in their history. I mean,
well, and yeah, I mean, I'm gonna say something here, and I hope I'm remembering this correctly, because if not, please correct me, because I don't want to be wrong about this. but from what I remember from learning in history classes, Judaism was the first one that came, or you know, the Jewish people were the first ones that established their religion.
Uh-huh.
And then Christianity became a branch of that, because at some point Jesus was self-proclaimed himself the king of the Jews.
Uh-huh.
So his teachings derived from Judaism, right? And then Christianity kind of morphed some of that stuff as time went by. And then a few hundred years down the road, Islam derived from Christianity. It's interesting how it's basically a retelling of the same stories, but things change over time to fit different times of in history, different cultures, different regions, right? So everyone kind of adds their own little spin to it, so to speak. And it's to me, it's interesting how all this developed. Basically, I'm kind of nerding out here. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's because I'm kind of like, I'm not a history freak, but I do every now and then look up documentaries on stuff like this because it's really interesting to me. One of the main things here that they do emphasize a lot is that for somebody in Islam to reject the existence of genies or jinn is forbidden because that would go against the teachings of their book, the Quran. So apparently, if you are a Muslim, you believe these things are real and they're out there. Because you cannot go against the teachings of your religion, right? To them, that's really like something that is not appreciated. What do you think about all this? Do you have any thoughts on all this information?
I feel like I would believe it, like if I, especially because what we talked about earlier, like how it's been like mentioned in, different areas, religions, whatever, like there's a possibility that they exist.
Who knows, right?
Yeah, I mean, and then I don't know. I feel like different cultures have their different versions of the same thing, and I feel like that's too much of a coincidence, So and I'm superstitious. I know people already should know that. So like, I mean, I feel like it could be possible. Like it could be real. I would believe it.
Don't know if it's gonna go into conspiracy theory territory, but I always thought it was intriguing that there's similar, like you mentioned, similar myths of similar creatures and way in different parts of the world that we're not in contact as far as we know for thousands of years. For example, I mean, the Chinese have the dragons, like the warm looking kind of dragons. They don't have wings. They kind of just look like snakes, right? And then in Hispanic culture, in the Aztec culture, we had Quetzalcoatl, which is like one of the main gods of that empire, of the Aztec Empire. He kind of looks like one of those dragons. In the descriptions, like if you read or look up the information on his appearance, they describe like him or Quetzalcoatl, his appearance as being kind of like one of those snake-like dragons that doesn't have wings. Except his body has like feathers in it. Because Quetzalcoatl means literally the feathered serpent or the feathered snake.
Interesting.
So, I mean, those two parts of the world, China and Mexico, really, I mean, they were not in contact. They weren't like writing emails to each other. They weren't like calling each other, sliding into DMs or anything like that. Because, so, how would you explain that? Like, how would you explain that these people that were separated by thousands of miles have the same idea?
Yeah, unless somebody from one area traveled to the other, but like, I mean, how likely is it that like one person spread that story and then like everybody believed it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
it's interesting, dude, and that's just one example. I mean, there's a few other ones where you see similar myths. Or even constructions, again, going back to Aztecs, the pyramids and the Egyptian pyramids. They're not exactly the same, but they look similar as far as their structure. It's a building that starts with a wide base, and then as the further up you go, it gets narrower and narrower. So I don't know, dude, like, I don't know if it's something that. Have you ever heard of this theory called the collective unconscious? So basically, just a quick little pocket psychology version here at Psychology 101. That was developed by Carl Jung. He was Freud's BFF for a while. First, I think he was his student or something like that, and then he became his BFF, and then they had a falling out and they hated each other forever. So kind of like high school. Yeah, so he talked about how he believed that humans shared something called the collective unconscious, which is basically a pool of idea of a pool, not necessarily of ideas, but where we all share a similar experience on some level, right?
Uh-huh.
So to him, that would be kind of like a way of explaining all these things. Like, okay, humans, we all humans are somehow connected in our, on a subconscious level. And that is why people from different parts of the world have similar ideas over time. Because our minds are somehow connected to this pool of knowledge or whatever you want to call it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of that?
I feel like it makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of things that people haven't really talked about, like, and then they all kind of share the same knowledge or the same ideas and stuff, and it's kind of, it's really weird, it's trippy. So yeah.
Well, I was kind of looking forward to more from you. I don't think we have anything like that in Hispanic culture. I mean, like, I don't think we have a genie creature, right? That grants our wishes or anything like that.
I can't think of.
I mean, the closest thing that I can think of, I mean, and this is you know, over time, because this is a more modern story, but that monkey's paw story, right?
Oh yeah.
The monkey's paw story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different, but like I'm trying to think of something that may be part of our culture here in Mexico or in Hispanic culture.
I mean, there might be something that we just haven't, or we overlooked, maybe we forgot about. I feel like there has to be something.
I really can't think of anything, dude. I mean, like, so maybe, I mean, if I do, I'll mention that at the you know, a later time in this episode, but if I don't, then meh.
We'll see.
And do you have any other final thoughts on the genies and either Islam or any other ideas that we just talked about right now?
No, other than, like, again, maybe not the first time that I heard about it, obviously, because I've seen Aladdin, but the other instance in which I've seen it portrayed, almost like the one from the movie, is in Supernatural. They have an episode on it, too.
Okay.
I think the djinn feeds off of the dreams, or the puts the people in like a coma, basically like a dreamlike state, and then it feeds off of their blood. It gives them what they wish for, but they're trapped in that reality.
Oh,
that,
okay.
It created for them. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it's still evil. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're kind of wishing something and you're not getting exactly what you want, or in the way you thought you'd get it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Huh. So, yeah, I mean, we went from talking about djinns to talking about conspiracy level theories on like transcontinental stories of mythology, and then we ended up talking about the collective subconscious. So, yeah, and I'm not even drinking tonight, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing anything either. I'm just sober.
Yeah, well, because full disclaimer, I drank my beer last night and I stayed up to like 5 in the morning because I couldn't sleep, dude.
Damn.
So yeah, and I kind of drank like a good amount of beer and then I went to sleep. Yeah. But yeah, anyways, that was our academic segment for tonight. Hope you guys enjoyed that, and we'll be right back with the Know Thine Enemy segment.
Ooh.
Alright guys, so we have reached the Know Thine Enemy segment, in which, if you're a first time listener, we go back to the villain of the movie and talk about some of his qualities, positive and negative, more in depth. Right, Monica?
Yes.
Alright, so obviously, who was the villain for this movie, my friend?
The djinn.
The djinn, aka the Wishmaster.
Yes.
Not master, Wishmaster.
Master?
So, his classification would be spectral, demonic, or supernatural, and that's because he's an evil creature that feeds on wishes or souls, right? I mean, well, he doesn't eat the souls, right?
He collects them. I mean, I think he does eat them because, like, it makes him powerful. That's how he becomes a human, or like how he can pretend to be human.
Yeah, because in the backstory, you know, in that first scene, it's kind of mentioned that he needs the souls of humans to open the gateway between the dimensions of humans and djinn, right?
Yes.
Because he wants to bring his bras over to our realm. and have a little party. He's lonely, man. He wants some of his homies around.
Yeah.
So, as far as his origin or backstory, he was, according to the little like narration in the beginning, his kind was created from fire, right?
Yeah.
He's talking to the Persian king, and then you see him kind of like arguing with the wizard, and then the wizard traps him in the gem, right?
Yes.
Which they call an opal. Do you know what an opal is? I mean, I've heard of opals, but I've never seen one. Or
I didn't know opals were red. I thought they were like blue or like green.
Right. I mean, I thought that was like a ruby.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But rubies are shaped different. They're more like geometric, and the opal's like a circle. I guess that's why it's an opal, maybe.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a little like. Not a football, but like it looks like one of those what is it called, like an oblong sphere, I guess, kind of like planet Earth, you know?
Uh huh. Yeah.
But the king traps him in there. What about his motivations or goals, my friend? What are they?
To deceive people, to get them to to wish wishes so that he can get more powerful, and take their souls. So basically, the destruction of humanity. I guess.
In essence, in a nutshell, that would be his goal, my friend. Yes, definitely. So throughout the movie, he has some sort of psychic connection to the main protagonist, right? I think her name is Alex. You see her kind of go into like a seizure or something whenever he kills someone. Right, whenever he takes somebody's soul,
oh,
right?
Oh yeah, she has like a vision, uh-huh.
Yeah, she kind of like somehow feels her pain or something. And he also talks to her through space and time.
Yes.
Into her head, like she hears his voice whispering to her about, "Oh yeah, I'm around." I was trying to act like him, and those maybe even worse than those in the movies. Somehow, because again, his speech pattern, dude, I can't get over that.
It's so weird. It's just awkward and comical.
It's
like
right now I'm drinking water. I say, "I'm drinking water."
Yeah.
So yeah, he's a little weird when it comes to that, but yeah. So basically, he again is somehow connected to this girl through a psychic link or something.
Uh huh.
His abilities or powers, they are pretty much self-evident. I mean, he grants wishes to people, quote unquote, because he doesn't really give them what they want per se. I mean, if you ask for money, I don't think you want it to come from somebody's insurance policy that you hold dear to your life.
Yeah.
And apparently nothing is off limits. He can do whatever you want him to do, right?
Yeah, but like, I mean, obviously it comes with a twist. Because he says, like, be careful how you choose your words or whatever. But it's like, he's already, while you're wishing the wish, he's already thinking of how he can turn that around on you. So that you don't get what you want, but he gets what he wants.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's, what's the word I'm looking for him?
Deceitful.
Yeah, deceitful, sly, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of guy. Yeah. And again, nothing is off limits. So whatever you want, he mentions at some point. If you want to go to the moon, I can take you to the moon. If you want to do whatever, I can do that. For, you know. So he has no limits, and that's kind of scary. That part is kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know anybody can wish anything, and they'll get it in some weird, twisted way. But hey, he'll give it to you. You know.
Yeah.
And I think his main weakness is exactly that. He can't do anything. Unless somebody asks him to do it, right?
Uh-huh, exactly.
I mean, the most he can do is be annoying to you. Like, when that in that scene where they're in the old lady's house and she keeps trying to give things to the girl. Like, are you cold? Are you thirsty? Do you want a drink? Like,
yeah. Do you wish you had this? Why do you keep wanting me to wish for something? Like, it's like, duh.
Ah, man, I feel bad because she's such she's not a good actress, man. I'm sorry. Like,
no, she's not. And, like, she had the face. She just didn't have the skills, I guess. Yes, this is a way to put it. Uh-huh.
I mean, if you notice, I've been not as open as on my, quote-unquote, simping.
I know. You're not simping for this one, and I think it's because of her acting. It was just too terrible.
I mean, she's not a bad-looking lady, but, I wasn't. I mean, I thought her sister was a little cuter, actually, if you ask me.
I like her better than I like the sister. The sister just looked weird to me.
again, it's not because she's not attractive. It's just a
The acting was a huge turnoff.
Yeah, personality matters, guys. Personality matters in this world.
Yes.
Or at least it was to me. As if anybody cared. But anyways, there's a couple of questions that I want to ask you about him. Do you think it's wrong? I mean, in the eyes of the genie, like, do you think it's wrong for people to want to change things and that's why he twists their wishes like that? I mean, we established that he wants their soul because, you know, it powers his gate-opening abilities, whatever. But do you think that the movie's trying to say that, through this guy, that it's wrong for us to want to change things in our lives, that we should be grateful for what we have?
I guess, because, like, no matter what you wish for, it's going to get turned around on you. I mean, it's like it's telling you to conform, you know, which is kind of dumb because, like, everybody wishes to have things that they maybe cannot get themselves or whatever. And I don't think that's bad. Obviously, live in the present, you know, that's, you know. Someone somewhere else is going to have it worse than you no matter what.
Uh-huh.
Like, always, you know. So, I like to say, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And the specific one for this movie is be careful what you wish for. To be very detailed and specific so that a fucking evil genie doesn't screw you over and take your soul. I guess that could be, like, the moral of the story. Like, settle. Or don't be too greedy, maybe, because some people were wishing for some, like, pretty messed up shit. But I don't know. Like, the death. Somebody else, like, that for sure, that guy should have suffered because that's messed up.
Yeah.
You don't even know the guy and you're already wishing him dead.
Yeah, you're talking about the bum, right? The little homeless guy.
Yeah, But it's like, I mean, that's kind of a stupid lesson if you ask me, because it's natural to wish for things, you know? The thing is to be able to limit, like, or be realistic, I guess.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. I think that might be the message of the movie, and if it is, I don't agree with that message. I don't think it's something that you shouldn't just, like, accept who you are. I mean, you should be able to enjoy the things you have if they're good, and if they're not, you should be able to want to improve on that.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, I don't know, maybe I'm just looking too much into it, and I'm being, like, a little, like, you know, too, like, pinky in the air type of guy, you know?
A snob, yeah.
But yeah, like, that's kind of the feeling that I had at the end. It's like, does this movie want to make me feel bad for wanting to change things in my life? Like,
yeah, I mean, because, but it was, I mean, if you really pay attention to it, it's like the whole thing was basically based on greed, which in another sense is like they're trying to tell you, hey, greed is bad, because they were trying to sell off that gemstone, you know, from the get-go. Somebody was trying to get money, and that person got screwed. So, everybody who was trying to sell it got screwed. Or who was wishing for things that were, like, incredibly selfish.
Uh-huh.
Like, most of the things that people wished for was very selfish. Or, like, superficial or whatever. But, yeah. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that completely, 100%. So, I guess my next question would be, and this has more to do with him as a villain, as a character.
Uh-huh.
How is he able to hurt anyone if he's bound by their wishes? Because, for example, in that last scene, when they're in the party.
Uh-huh.
And Alex finds herself trapped in that room with the painting and the statues that came to life, whatever. He is gonna try to harm her in some way to get her to wish her final wish.
Uh-huh.
Because he mentions that, like, I don't want you to wish, like, I don't need you dead, I just need you to wish to be dead.
Yeah. He can grant whatever you want, but there's always going to be a way to twist it, and there's always going to be a loophole. And, like, he doesn't want to actively hurt her himself, like, he's not going to go out there and stab her, or, like, break her neck with his own hands. He thrives on self-torture, basically. You're like, you screwing yourself over because you forgot to say something in a certain way, or wasn't too, like, detailed. And like to him, it's a game. So he's like, oh, you know, huh, you fucked up. Like, now you're dead. Your soul is mine, you know? That's basically what it is. Like, he just feeds off of a fear of, like, lacking insight, or I don't know. He still wants to see her suffer. He just doesn't want to do the work himself. Because he's bound to her, like you said. He's bound to her wishes. Like, he technically can't hurt her. Mm-hmm. He has to find a way to have her hurt herself.
Okay, I see.
So that he doesn't have to deal with her and he doesn't have to serve her anymore. Because technically, yeah, like, he's, like, he's at a person's demand for wishes. It's up to them to screw themselves over. He can't really do it himself because he doesn't have that power.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was... I wasn't really clear on that. Like, because to me, it seemed like he was going to actually try to hurt her himself, like, in some way, like...
I guess he kind of, like, connected with her from when she, like, rubbed the freaking gemstone.
Yeah.
And, like, now they're, like, you know, that's why she was able to feel things that he was doing. So, through that, he's torturing her by, like, making her feel guilty for being the reason why other people are dying.
Okay, that makes a little more sense now, definitely, because I wasn't clear on that. I was like, I mean, how is... If he's bound to her, because technically she's his master for that.
Yeah.
Until she wishes the final wish, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is he gonna try to hurt her? I mean, because if she dies, then he can't have that last wish. You know.
True.
So, okay. So yeah, definitely your explanation makes it a little bit more clear, my friend. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you, and that's why I have you on board in this project. I guess the final opinion on the Wishmaster. Again, his look is weird. He looks creepy, but. Just don't talk to you. Just don't talk.
No, if you just didn't talk, he would be scarier. It's the voice. Yeah,
and it's an interesting concept of a villain, but it's not really executed too well in this film, unfortunately.
No.
And the movie itself, I mean, the plot, the acting, I mean, everything just doesn't help him to be memorable, dude.
What was the reason for, like, how it even started in the beginning? Like, yeah. It just starts from the beginning in, like, the middle of chaos. Like, there's no, like, what happened before? Or, like, why is this guy trying to persuade this dude? Like, and we find out, you know, like, that it's because he wants to open the gate or whatever the hell, you know?
Uh-huh.
But still, like, for what? Like, what is this guy's plan? Where does he come from? Like, I feel like there needed to be more, like, I guess, explanations and also better acting. So...
Yeah, I mean, that's something that they might explore in the sequels, because sometimes they do that. Sometimes they expand on the mythology a little more in later movies, but I don't think I want to put myself through the other three of them again.
I'm still going to watch the second one just to double check to see if that's the one that I liked.
Hey, maybe. If you really, 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 really want to do it, then I guess, you know. But out of my own volition, I don't think I would want to submit myself to that torture, my friend.
Yeah, true.
I guess. So, how many skulls does this guy on your scare meter as a villain?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
Wow, I was actually going to go quite higher than you. I was going to give him a seven.
Really?
But I'm not going to give him seven anymore. I'm going to downgrade him to a five now.
Okay.
Because, again, I don't know why I was, like, I guess I wrote my notes right after watching this, and I don't know why I was giving him such, like, high scores or whatever, but I definitely didn't mean to. I mean, I don't know what... Again, maybe because I wasn't sober when I watched the movie, I don't know. but yeah, dude, definitely I would say a five. So between your three and my five, that averages out to four skulls on the scare meter.
Nice.
So, any final thoughts on the Wishmaster?
Nope, none at all.
I definitely want to put this experience behind me and never talk about it again. Right. Nah, I mean, again, it wasn't that bad of a movie, but it's just like,
yeah.
It was kind of, because we were kind of on a roll, we're watching, like, good movies lately, and and this one, I remember, like, again, from my younger days, not liking it too much, and I figured, well, maybe when I'm older, I'll see it things
appreciate
a little differently.
Appreciate it more, yeah.
But no, I think my 14-year-old self was definitely right about this. So, high five to 14-year-old me across space and time.
Nice.
Ah. So that was our Know Thine Enemy segment, and we'll come right back after this break to our closing remarks for tonight's episode. Okay, Monica, once again, the sad face, because we have reached the end of our episode for this week. But, it wasn't a very interesting movie. I try to say positive things about stuff, like, you know, but it kind of reminded me of the feeling that I had when I watched Midsommar.
Oh, wow, really?
In which I felt really unconnected to the movie as a horror film. It's just not something for me, and I kind of felt the same way about this. Not as far as the acting, because I mean the acting in Midsommar is way better.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give it points for that, but I kind of had the same feeling at the end of watching both of these movies, where it's like, man, like I kind of feel like I just wasted an hour and a half of my life, you know? Like, thanks to everyone who listened in today. If you're a first-time listener, we appreciate your attention. If you're a repeat listener, thank you also for being one of the OGs in our podcast army, in the group chat. So, shout-outs for tonight. I have a shout-out to my cousin, Dennis. I hadn't heard from him in a while, and he got a hold of me this morning. And he mentioned that he likes the podcast. He's enjoying the episodes. He was a little bit out of touch because of his life. He's got, you know, some stuff going on. He moved to a different state, stuff like that. You know, he got married.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, thank you so much for the feedback, dude. I appreciate it. I would encourage you to keep listening because things are hopefully going to get better for us.
Thank you.
So, you got any shout-outs on your end of the spectrum, Monica?
Just to those dudes who were, like, riding their motocross bikes outside my neighborhood today that kept disrupting my dogs and making them go nuts, making me think that somebody was trying to break into the house. Thank you for that. But that's it.
I would not be wanting to thank them but myself, but okay, I appreciate your...
It's sarcasm, okay, and be sarcastic.
So was I, by the way. So was I. Perdón, güey. It's a reminder to our listeners for the social media pages in which they can reach us. Our Facebook is under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. Our Instagram is under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is MythsBehindLGDS, and you can also email us at MythsBehindLegends@gmail.com.
Awesome, and our link tree is under MythsBehindLGDS as well, and our website is under Myths-Behind-Legends.MailChimpSites.com. So yeah, be sure to follow us, like us, give us a DM here and there. Tell us what you're thinking, if you like the podcast, if you don't like the podcast. Suggestions are welcome for films, stories, TV shows, you know, anything you guys want us to talk about. We are down for that. Again, if you want to be featured as a guest, we can talk to you and maybe we can make that happen for you. Because we're always in the lookout for collabs, my friend, right?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, Monica, and for tonight, I feel like it's my turn to give a hint for the audience on the episode for next week. We're going to talk about something based off of the works of one of my favorite authors. Finally, we're getting to something by him. By none other than Stephen King. We're going to talk about something that's got to do with mental issues.
Okay.
And something that's got to do with OCD. Let's put it that way.
All right.
I think that's a little vague enough for people to get the idea. I don't want to talk, like, you know, give the title because, you know, whatever.
Give it away.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll give it. But you know, I feel like that's a broad yet focused hint on what we're going to talk about next week. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really, really, really looking forward to that because this guy is definitely one of my personal favorite authors. And I was looking forward to the day where we talked about something that he was responsible for.
Nice.
So you got any final comments on tonight's episode, my friend?
Nope. I just got allergies all of a sudden, so that's going to be fun.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, my friend. I'll be probably, I don't know, getting something to drink or something. Man, I don't know. I'm still thinking about it because I drank a lot last night. But anyways, that was our episode for tonight. Thank you guys very much for listening. We hope to see you on the next one. Until then, have a great morning, evening, madrugada, supper time, whatever it is you guys call it in your neck of the woods. And until then, have a good one.
Bye.